This is Pastor Jonathan McKnight. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight to Growing from This Place. No matter what place you're in, no matter where you've been, no matter what's going on in your life, we have made a decree and we have made a declaration that we are going to grow from this place, believing that God is going to do great things, that God is going to do awesome things. It's just good to know that He is in total control of every situation that is happening in our lives. We're standing on His promises. We're standing on His word, and we just want to be in prayer. We know that, God is good and He's worthy to be praised, and we honor Him on today. And I was just thinking about so many today. In our country, we definitely had a legacy by which was honored today. Senator John Lewis was honored today, and I just want to be able to understand that sometimes we definitely have to take a moment to pay tribute to those who paved the way along our pathway. And I was actually sent a picture of him and my father the last time he was in Gainesville, Florida. They had a chance to have discussions. And I'm just thinking about so many times people have going through life, and they've done so many wonderful things to help so many people on so many levels. You know, I was thinking about earlier about so many people have done so many things to have a better way of freedom, but yet sometimes the freedom and the sacrifice that has been given is not honored the way it should be honored. I think this one thing is very significant before I get into the text tonight, is that we remember on the legacy of those. You know, I remember even coming through middle school and high school and elementary school, think about some of the teachers I had, Miss LaPointe, Miss Hightower, Miss Curl and the Whitehead, and thinking about, you know, you got Coach Carter and you have Coach Barry Spears and just different people, Dean Jones. My experience with Dean Jones was not too good, because I had to go visit his office, back then in school, you know, they had their own form of discipline. And I'm just thinking about people who along our pathway that have directed us, and that we need to just sometimes remember. So I wanted to start off this Growing from This Place to think about all the times, the abuse, and yet fighting for others that they might have freedom, and growing from that place. And that's actually what was happening. So we honor Senator John Lewis on today and on this Growing from This Place. And even locally in our community, we lost an icon in our community today, and laid to rest today, Mr. Mitchell. And it's just important to remember that none of us got here on our own. The truth of the matter is there's someone who has helped us get to where we are, and that's why we should feel the need to be able to help others come across the pathway of life to another whole capacity by which we are able to live and have a better quality of life. Definitely praying for all of those families who are suffering. So many people are fighting this COVID virus. And then there's some trying to act like it's getting better. Unfortunately, they forgot that we have sense. Unfortunately, there are some that forgot that we know how to see and think for ourselves and to see the reality that is getting closer and closer to home. And sometimes it's already in the home. And we need to make sure that we're using wisdom and that we're moving forth and we're going forth in wisdom and understanding. I was having this conversation with my brothers and just having an extensive conversation about how so many times in Christendom and Christians sometimes can be sending a confusing message, understanding that there's a thin line many times between faith and foolishness. And many times we got to understand that the element of serving God is wisdom, and He wants us to be wise. He wants us to be able to make sure that we represent Him. As a matter of fact, we need to take care of ourselves so we can serve Him. If the salt is not in the earth, there's nothing that's going to preserve the earth, and that's what we need to make sure we do. My prayer is that you be able to go through situations in your life and be able to know that God is good and He is worthy to be praised, to be able to move forward in those situations and stop them to know what happens when you go forth in your life to make sure that you are moving at another whole level, at another whole capacity by which we need to make sure that we pass on the legacy, even to our children, of the legacy of wisdom and the legacy of understanding. And understanding that in the midst of what we're doing, in the midst of how we're going, in the midst of what we're saying, we need the presence of God. We need the Spirit of God. We need the anointing of God to be able to do what needs to be done in our life. And we just want to stand firm. We want to stand firm on His word and believe that God is in total control of every situation. We definitely want you to know that we want you to use wisdom. And I'm getting ready to get into text. Well, I just think I need to just take a moment to remind us, we are literally in world history. We're dealing with the largest and the greatest, most widespread pandemic, pestilence, and sickness that the world has ever seen. Many times, and even in the Bible days, there was sickness and pestilence, but it was in a particular region, but not over the whole world. This situation is affecting every country and every nation. And we just want to be able to use wisdom. I speak blessings and protection over you. I speak guidance, knowing that God is going to do what needs to be done. Now, as I say that, I want to be able to go to a passage of Scripture and understand the importance of what we're going to read to you on tonight. Many times, I think about how we have to go through so many different obstacles and so many different channels to be able to deal with certain things. And sometimes when you're going through channels in life and you're going through situations in life, you don't know exactly where to put the confidence and be able to know which way to go. But I want to read something to you. It comes from the book of Numbers, the 23rd chapter. I want to read two verses. And the verse says this: God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, And shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken? And shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and it cannot be reversed. I want to deal with something tonight from the thought, just for a few moments, God has already made it good. He's already made it good. If you're not careful, you'll go through life and situations in life, and it'll seem like there's nothing going good. And many times there's some credibility and validation to that situation. And it'll seem like things are just not going right. And that's a true reality. And if you're not careful, the enemy is the master of seasons of adversity to make it seem like it's just not going to work for you good. Personally, I can talk to you about some seasons in my life, and I'm telling you something, especially when you're going through painful seasons. And sometimes when we think of those painful seasons, when things are painful, you don't even really want to hear about it, that there's a purpose in your pain. Not when you're really hurting. You just want relief. You want it to stop. The people who are telling you there's a purpose in your pain, you be like, okay, you know, but you saying what you're saying, but you're not feeling what I'm feeling. And one of the things about purpose and pain, pain does have a purpose. Pain will defeat pride. I can really tell when someone's really been through pain by the aftermath or during the process. Some people, they can be going through, but they're definitely not going to be humble. Sometimes they're going through and pride. And one of the things, the greatest enemies of life to me is pride. A dangerous thing is pride. But that's the very reason why the enemy himself, the devil himself, became prideful. He became prideful in the presence of God, and he couldn't deal with the fact that he was not God, and he couldn't deal with the fact that he would never be God. So he wanted to be equal with God because he had took on the spirit of pride. There's a scripture that says in Proverbs 18 and 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. Another scripture says, Proverbs 27 and 2, he said, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thy own lips. In other words, that's that person that just goes around bragging on themselves, and the only person tend to exist in the world today seems to be them. But one of the main scriptures is Proverbs 16 and 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Sometimes people are prideful, And they're so prideful until the stubbornness of reality sets in. And you want me to tell you almost a guaranteed remedy of pain, or one of the greatest hindrances if two things meet? If pride and stubbornness ever becomes friends, you're going to have a hard life. If pride and stubbornness ever become friends, and many times they can become friends in one person individually, or they can become friends when one is prideful, one is stubborn, and they begin to counsel and advise each other. The Bible says God resists the proud, but he'll give grace to the humble. When there's pride, it's actually God's, the Bible says God will resist you. So that means there's a level of resistance. There's a level of blockage because pride is tied to idolatry. And idolatry is when you literally begin to form, and many people make their own gods, and they make themselves gods. And sometimes we have religious gods in the form of men and women. You have to be careful. I see we're to honor, we're to respect, and we're to do that. But I'm telling you something right now, and one of the greatest lessons my father taught me was about the spirit of humility. When you don't let this stuff, people get stuff, they get started, a few things start happening positive, and they just start acting like, you know, I'm the bomb. .com, they be acting like they the salsa and the dips and the chip and everything else, expressions we use. And sometimes it's just an enemy. And when pride and stubbornness, I don't know why I'm going down this street. Actually, this wasn't really on my, it wasn't on my notes tonight to go down here, this road. And but God is taking me, so I work for him. You have to be careful how you take stubborn advice, especially with the motive, because the seed of it is pride. And somebody's been dealing with some pride issues. Oh, God wouldn't have me dealing with this the way we deal with it. And usually when there's pride, there's not a lot of forgiveness and grace inside of people. Stubborn, they're hard. And that pride and that unforgiveness is a gateway to evil and wicked thoughts. It says pride goes before destruction. Sometimes while you think you're doing the right thing and you're just being stubborn and prideful, actually, it's leading the way to you destroying your own self. And the Holy Spirit almost guarantees a fall. Now, I want to be able to deal with it from this perspective. Just because you go through tests and trials, it doesn't mean that you're always prideful. The longer I live and the more that God does for me, I've come to the conclusion that God's sovereign will, there's some things you're just going to have to go through. Some things you're going to have to go through to discover what's around you. Who's around you. I literally today had to witness to a lady today in the cemetery. I was leaving a burial, and the lady came. And said to me, I had gotten in my truck, and I was sitting down and getting ready to leave, and she came to me, I let down the window. I said, "How you doing?" She said, "I'm not good, Pastor McKnight." And she began to tell me what was going on in her life. and the disappointments of some of the things that she dealt with. And holding an umbrella in her hand, she just began to cry, talking about how she had lost her parents, and she discovered so many things about so many people through loss. I say, you see, you don't know certain people until certain things have happened. I said, loyalty is a rare commodity. There are very few people that understand the precious gift of loyalty. They're not loyal to God. They're not even loyal to their own family. They're not loyal to their children or loyal to themselves. They're only loyal to their own agenda. And I said to her, some things that's been most painful in life is when you thought you had loyalty, only to discover that you don't. And I began to minister. And one thing I found out, if you're faithful to God, He always has somebody who will see your value, even if they're not in your circle. And as I have concluded in my life now, some circles I just don't have to be in. I don't have to be in the hater circle. I don't have to be in the gossiping circle. I don't have to be in the don't want to see nobody successful circle but me, or just the network by which I'm operating in. Don't have to be in the competition circle. Don't have to be in the compromise circle. I want to be in that chosen circle that fully understands that if I'm going to be successful in life, I can't just think about me, but I got to think about Him and what He wants me to do. And if you are not careful, your bitterness, your regret, your shame, your pain will become the driver of your life. And you'll literally forfeit your peace and your happiness because of your past experiences. It's a trick. It's a move of deception. As if though you cannot recover, and you have to always deal with the cards that you've been dealt. I'm going to say something prophetically, and I rarely use that expression on going from this place or even when I'm preaching, unless it's an unction of the Holy Ghost. The enemy, with what he dealt you, is going to have to pick the cards back up and reshuffle the deck. I just said something then. And somebody said, well, what do you mean reshuffle the deck and pick the cards back up? What I mean is in life, there is a perception that when the enemy tries to do certain things, we just have to deal with it. But the Lord is telling me tonight, there are some people that's been going through some situations and it doesn't look like it's working for your good. But God's about to change the situation. In this story, there was a king. And this king, hated God's people. This king hated God's people so bad and said, let me get the prophet. The king was Balaam. The prophet was Balaam. And the king, Balak, tried to hire the prophet Balaam. To curse his enemies. And the king thought that because he was the king and he had the change, that he can persuade the prophet to curse the people who were his enemies. Something strange happened. Something godlike happened. And Balaam is trying to go and do his little thing, and I guess because some change was involved, he found out that when God does something, he does it. The prophet around here riding the donkey on his way to try to, you know, do what he do against the people of God. He don't even see there's a death angel and as he was on his way, the donkey, and the Bible didn't even say donkey, I'll let you figure it out, the donkey, I'll give you a little hint since we gotta play a little Jeopardy. It rhymes with pass. It's not a donkey, but it rhymes with pass. Donkey says, oh no. The Bible says in chapter 22, God's anger was kindled because he went and the angel of the Lord stood in the way of an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and the sword drawn in his hand. But Balaam was so determined, he didn't even see the angel of the Lord. Let me read the story. I'm in Numbers 22 now. When some of y'all are gonna think I'm so bad, but when the donkey saw, he turned and got on his knees, but the angel of the Lord stood in the path, and the prophet, you know, that's why sometimes people be all spiritual, but they don't even see the real danger going. You just can't ride out everywhere with everything in every situation. There's some people right now spiritually, they don't even see COVID as danger and see people dying every day. We're on our way to 160,000 in America and 670,000 across the world, and they still act like it's no danger. And you hanging out with them, and you letting them come to your house, even if it's your children. I don't care if they are my child. I don't care. I got a son. I don't care if it is my child. He's not finna get around here now and act like he just has the freedom to potentially bring danger in the house. No, we got to monitor that foolishness. People dying every day. Now, let me get back to this. They saw the danger. And saw the angel with the sword getting ready to stop them. But when I saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself on the wall and crushed the prophet's foot. And then he started beating the prophet, the man of God got angry, lost, and started beating up the donkey. And the angel of the Lord went forth and stood in the narrow place where there was no way to either turn left, right. The angel cornered them. And when the donkey, when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, he fell down under Balaam. The donkey then fell to his knees. And then the prophet, angel was killed. He smote him, started beating him with his staff, started beating him with the stick. And the Lord opened the mouth. So since the man couldn't see, since the prophet could not see, then the donkey had to start talking. She fell on the Balaam and he started beating him with the stick. And the donkey opened his mouth and said to Balaam, I would have been done right then. He said, what have I done unto thee? The donkey started talking. The donkey picked up to start talking. You done smitten me three times. Balaam, with his crazy self, started saying, the Bible says in verse 29, you can read it for yourself. It says in Numbers 29, 22 and 29, he said unto the eyes, because thou hast mocked me. Now, he's not even thinking. See, that's when you know that you've gone too far. When you have lost your consciousness and your focus, you're being ruled by your angel, and you don't even have enough sense to know you up here having a conversation with a donkey talking to you like a natural individual, and you talking back to him. And when the donkey saw and turned from thee three times, unless he had turned from thee, surely thou would have slain. The angel started talking. He said, you know what? If the donkey wouldn't have done what he done, prophet, if he wouldn't have stopped, you lost your life. If somebody, if the donkey wouldn't have saw for you, you would have lost your life, your ministry, and everything else. Then the angel with the sword tells Balaam, Balaam, look, now you need to go with the men, but only the word that I speak unto thee thou shalt speak. Now, wait a minute now. It's already working for your good. He's already made it good. Goes to Balaam, the king, trying to hire the prophet to speak against the children of God, to literally curse them. It's taking me a little longer tonight. I'm normally done in 30 minutes. But I got to finish this in 5. I want to talk about the people who don't even know how much God loves you for a moment. The people who just see you. The people who think and don't even understand what your purpose is. And that God will not allow even them, no matter how close to them or you they are, that he will not let them mess up your purpose. The prophet was about to mess up his own life because he didn't see the value of God's people. You have to be careful how you handle God's people. You have to be careful how you treat them. You have to be careful how you speak to them. You have to be respectful how you honor them. And that's why I always say about seniors and those adults and so many people, once they get a certain age, they talk to their parents any kind of way, they talk to the elderly any kind of way, and you just think you're just going to go through life and handle who done helped you, got certain places in life, and just think God going to sit back and let you do that. You don't even see the danger. I don't know why I'm going here, but I'm going here because I need to. The violation of the simplicity of who you've made yourself to be can actually be a violation of your own success. King tries to hire the prophet, say, curse him, but he's watching him. He said, I thought you were supposed to curse them. But it looks like in verse 23, the king in chapter 23, we get over there and the king said, wait a minute, we got a problem. I hired you to curse them. And Balak said unto Balaam, verse 11, what hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse my enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them all together. And he answered, the prophet said, he said, must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? Balak says unto him, come, I pray thee with me unto another place, and from whence thou mayest see them. Maybe you didn't speak over the right people, that thou should be the utmost part of them, and shall not see them all, and curse me from them. He said, maybe you spoke over the wrong people. Maybe the ones I hated, you got them confused. Let me show you my enemies. He said unto Balak, stand here by the burnt offerings while I meet the Lord yonder. And the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, go again and tell Balak this. Go tell him this. Those people you hating, I've already made that good. It's good whether it's, I'm not validating any political party. I'm not trying to make this a political agenda. But it's good. It's good. You got to say, I'm blessed regardless of who. The man ain't going to bless me. The man can't control the destiny and legacy of what God has set for me and my family. While we fully understand that there are some that lead a whole lot better than others, we still understand verse 19. When the king tried to get the prophet to curse God's people, who God had already set the blessing for, he said, now, God is not a man. God don't just change and say something and then take it back. He said, he's not a man that he should lie. The son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Baby, you got to go tell them right now that I've already made this good. He said, and shall he not do it if he said it? Or hath he spoken? Shall he not make it good? He said, I have received a commandment to bless, and he hath blessed. And I'm just a man. I cannot reverse it. So that brings me to the point to let you know, let your haters do what they want to do. Let the people that don't want to believe in you do what they want to do. Let them say what they want to say. Let them speak whatever they want to speak. You know, there's some people that think that because they think it, because they feel it, that because they say it, it's going to happen, especially if they don't like you, not even understanding who God is and what he's already said about you. It can't be reversed. The only thing can that reverse it if you go getting into pride and arrogance and you destroy yourself. But because you're smarter than that, and you're going to walk in humility, and you're going to walk in worship, and we're going to walk in praise, and we're not going to walk around thinking we're better than other people. We're going to do what we do, and we're going to treat people like we want to be treated. We're going to let them trip. But guess what? We're going to make our purpose and our destiny. And guess what God's going to do? He won't reverse it. They'll find out. As I finish this, and people will see that your pain was a process. It just brought you closer to God. But it's not over till God says it's over. Because God got a man that he should lie. And neither is he the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, he going to do it. If he spoke it, he going to make it good. has already been declared, and it cannot be reversed. Some of you tonight need to look at everything you're dealing with and just say, God's going to make it good. He's going to turn that situation around. I took an extra 10 minutes tonight because somebody was in a hole. Somebody was in a place. And you need to grow from that place. Pastor McKnight, how can you say that so confidently? How can you say that with so much relaxation and so much confidence? Because I've lived it myself. To know that if God is with you, don't matter who don't want to be with you, don't matter what they think or say, God will make it good. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace, for your good, your God, and you're worthy to be praised. There are many people tonight, God, they need you. They need your hand. They need your mercy. They need your guidance. They need your strength. And tonight, we say yes to your will, your way, and to your word. I want you to let them know that you can make it good, but they got to trust you more than they trust this world. Our help is in you. Our hope is in you. Our healing is in you. Our protection is in you. Our health, our wealth, our guidance, it's all in you. And God, right now, as we stand on your word, and as we stand on your promises, heal those families who are in disarray, grieving, those who are hurting, those who are in bondage. I pray now in the precious name of Jesus that you'll give them peace. Those who are helping others on all levels, medically, in our communities, our military, first responders, I ask you, God, to cover them and their families. Those who are suffering from loss and grief, and there are many, I ask you, God, to bring healing and deliverance to those families. A person who feels helpless and hopeless and don't know which way to turn, I pray that they'll know you'll make it good. Bless our families, bless our communities, bless our children, protect them, even when they're being forced to try to not know what they're being forced in. I pray for wisdom. I counsel every spirit of selfishness and pride and stubbornness. And we thank you, God, for victory. We ask you, oh God, to heal, deliver, and set free. Give us wisdom. Give us answers. Saturate us with favor. We thank you that it's already done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We got some shout-outs. Atlanta, Georgia. Brentwood, New York is on this call. Mobile, Alabama. Jersey City, New Jersey. Troy, Alabama. We got Macon, Georgia on this call. Tampa, Lakeland. Fort Worth, Texas. Miami, Florida. Definitely playing on that South Florida end. Gainesville, Florida, my hometown. Greensboro, North Carolina. Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Charlotte, North Carolina. Lyle, North Carolina. Montgomery, Alabama. The Big H, Houston, Texas. Augusta, Georgia. The Big D, Dallas, Texas. Savannah, Georgia. Fort Lauderdale, Florida. We're praying for you on that end. Germantown, Maryland. Huntsville, Alabama. Got a lot of Alabama. Jacksonville, Florida. Los Angeles. That's the big Los Angeles, California. Rochester, New York. Buffalo, New York. We got Raleigh, North Carolina. Tallahassee, Florida. Palm Coast, Florida. Columbus, Ohio. Baltimore, Maryland. Jackson, Mississippi. Buffalo, New York. New York, New York. Binghamton, New York. Got a lot of New York on the call tonight. Bridgeport, Connecticut. All over Central Florida. And definitely crossing the water. Definitely playing for Nassau, Bahamas. Freeport, Bahamas. U.S. Virgin Islands. All of you guys, we're praying for your safety. Every person on this call, Central Florida, Orange, Osceola, Seminole, Lake, Volusia, Brevard, all the counties in our area, we're praying for covering over you and your families. Remember this, God has already made it good. You just got to believe that he's not a man. If he said it, he's going to do it. If he spoke it, he's going to make it good. You be blessed, be safe, be wise. And watch God work miracles. Be blessed. Pastor Jonathan McKnight. Have an amazing evening.
Thank you for calling into Growing From This Place with Jonathan L. McKnight. For special prayer requests, email us at growingfromhere@gmail.com. We look forward to you joining us every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Remember, you win. Thank you for calling into